Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start so far. He's Joe. I'm Chase. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos behind the glass. Combine week in the NFL, and I know our next guest is so excited about that. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joins us now. You just got to love the Underwear Olympics, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I think the highlight of the combine is probably St. Elmo's or Harry and Izzy's, right?
Oh, yeah.
Getting some good grub up there. But, yeah, it's, a chance to – I think really, teams to get together and maybe discuss more or less like what's going to happen in free agency and deals and trades and all that kind of stuff. And I think the whole Underwear Olympics just kind of is a diversion for what really happens at the combine.
Yeah, no, I agree because, I mean, guys don't throw anymore. Like, I don't think Shador's throwing. And so it's just kind of like what's the point? But I remember Floyd telling me, I mean, that's when a lot of deals, going into the draft got done because of all the conversations at St. Elmo's or somewhere that, that took place between GMs. And I know going a couple of times – I'd see, guys everywhere be like, oh, wait, Belichick's talking to that guy over in the corner and all of that. So I guess that's still the purpose of it, but it's just another step in the draft process.
Yeah, I mean, you've had guys not throw in the past, right? Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, Andrew Luck, Kyler Murray, Bryce Young, right? But I think for me, I think those guys were pretty much consensus. Number one, number two. At least top five picks, right? For sure. And so I guess for Shador not to throw is just kind of puzzling to me, right? I don't know if it's just, you're not throwing to your normal receivers. I don't know what it is. Obviously, the interviews are probably the most important thing, but it's like if – I guess I have the mentality of if you want to be the number one pick, like I'll throw for wherever, whoever, anywhere, right? I'll show you what I got. So – I don't know. Obviously, it's a business decision at the end of the day, but it's worked out for some other guys. But I guess when Shador and Cam, you hear some guys talk about they don't even have a first round grade on them, right? And so why not go out there and prove that you're worthy of the first pick or a top five pick?
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Brett, how did the NFL find you?
That's a great question because I was not invited to the combine. I had one workout with Brad Seeley, who at that time was the special teams coordinator for the Browns. My pro day consisted of me, doing the University of Toledo Underwear Olympics. And anything that I got asked was about my teammates. So I would sit down with a team. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's talk. I remember the Colts. Hunter Smith was at the end of his contract and I knew they needed a punter and they had a bunch of like 6th, 7th round picks. And so I sat down with them and they brought a guy and he was like, hey man, I want to work you out on my pro day. And so of course there was like 2-3 inches of snow on the grass at Toledo on the turf there. And so, I went out there, I shoveled my little patch where I was going to punt. I told them where to stand, hit some directional punts, all that kind of stuff. And we got done with the workout. And I was like, hey, so, are you a special teams coach or, he's like, no, I'm actually just, they just hired me a month ago. I'm like the assistant to the assistant for the head scouting director. He's like, I honestly can't even tell you who the special teams coach, what his name is. And he's like, I just wanted to go back to Indy and tell him like, hey, I conducted a workout, worked out the punter. And the next thing he asked me was like, was that a good workout? And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And, so that was my pro day. And then, when I talked to other teams, they were asking me about my other teammates, as far as them as teammates and their skills, abilities. And I just, so that was, no combine, none of that. And, thankfully, like I said, the Lord worked things out, to get out to Denver and battle out there for a job.
How, when you got the phone call from Denver, were you like, oh no, is this another guy I want to be a coach, or how did that work out?
No, that was real deal. Just because, I knew there was probably about 3 or 4 teams. I kind of had like obviously a late round draft, 6th, 7th round potentially. But my phone was actually ringing before the draft was even over. Teams that were done with their picks. And so we knew, my agent and I, you know, my family, and we knew that Denver was a spot, because that's actually when Todd Sauerbrunn got kicked off or suspended because he punched that cab driver.
That's right.
He missed the final four games of the season, and they were like, "Yeah, we're not bringing this dude back." And so we knew like Denver had it was going to be an open competition for the punting spot. And so, you know, Indy was a chance. There were a couple other teams. I think Baltimore, you know, Sam Cook had just finished his rookie year. So there was opportunity. But then obviously when Denver called, I was like, okay, this is kind of the real deal, right? So and it's nice too, like, you know, when you get drafted 6th, 7th round, you don't have a choice of where you're going, right? But when you're an undrafted free agent, especially in you know, a specialist situation, right? It's like, okay, well, who really needs a punter? Who really needs a kicker? Like, who am I going against? Is there a veteran that I think I could beat out? What's the contract situation, of this veteran that's there, right? Is there any guaranteed money? So there's a lot of things you can look at before, you know, you make your choice of where you want to go. And so thankfully, you know, Denver, we knew they had an opening thanks to a guy that punched a cab driver, and there you go. So
the rest is history, as they say.
Rest is history. That's right.
Brett Curran is on the line with us. You know, we've had a lot of discussion across all of our shows on reclamation project quarterbacks, and you know, Sam Darnold is certainly a perfect example of a guy that, you know, it flamed out in New York for whatever reason, and then kind of went through, you know, Carolina and then San Francisco, and then we saw the year that he had with Minnesota. Now he's in position to get a pretty big contract. The right. Titans have been viewed as a team that could possibly go that route, whether, you know, it's a Daniel Jones or a Mac Jones or somebody of that ilk. But if Matthew Stafford's available, and he's certainly not a reclamation project, he won a Super Bowl with the Rams and obviously had a great career with Detroit. He's looking for about $50 million a year, it seems. But, you know, now that he might potentially be available because the Rams have given him permission to talk to other teams, is that the route? If you were the Titans, knowing that you hold the number one pick and could use that, you know, capital somewhere for other holes that you have on your roster, is Stafford the one that maybe they should go after?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, you look at Sam Darnold, and obviously, you know, so much of the draft is like where you go, what offense you're in, who's your coach. I mean, it's a lot, right? And so I think, you know, with Sam, a lot of people are saying, well, he had Justin Jefferson, you know, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, Kevin O'Connell was his coach. You know, his O-line was a top 10 O-line, right? That's a pretty good setup for him, right? And so, I understand, you know, those questions, especially with, you know, how he finished the season and then obviously the start of his career. So I think there's probably a little bit of hesitancy, I guess, you know, in paying somebody. What do you think he's going to get? 45, 46, 47 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a team, you know, a team will pay that, I'm sure.
Right. And so if Matthew Stafford, if he comes out and says, hey, you know, I want 50, like, is it worth the extra 3-4 million, right? Yeah. For somebody that's, you know, a little more proven, obviously won a Super Bowl, has a longer career. But then, you know, the next big question is, you know, you want your quarterback to play 17 games, right? And so, you know, do you think, you know, Matthew Stafford has not missed many games. You can probably count on one hand, you know, how many he's missed, right? So there's definitely, you know, they say, you know, I know in the Titans, you know, training room, it says the best ability is availability, right? So who's playing and who can you count on? Who can you trust on to go out there and try to play all 17 games? And so I think that's definitely a question to be had, you know, if Stafford is available, right? I mean, could that come with somebody like Cooper Kupp too? I don't know. I mean, then you're talking about trade picks and all that could, you know, all that stuff, right? But why not have that conversation? You have to explore all your options out there. You know, there's obviously a lot of quarterbacks that are available, but what ones do you think you feel comfortable with, you know, given the keys, you know, to play the season? And, you know, Will Levis isn't going anywhere. I mean, if you cut him, that's 4.8, you know, of dead cap space that goes against your cap. And then that obviously takes away, you know, about $5 million that you can spend on, you know, some other players to get in here. So he's not going anywhere. You just need somebody to come in and have, you know, some really good competition for him. And if you can go out and get a Matthew Stafford, why not?
We're talking to a former Titans punter, Brett Kern, on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Brett, you know, I was at practice all those years that you played, and you were kind of the pseudo receiver to warm up quarterbacks for certain drills and everything. What's one quarterback that you hated catching a football from that you knew was just going to burn your hands?
Man, I tell you what, Rusty Smith had one gear and one gear only, and that thing was humming as hard as it could. And our thing too was like, you couldn't wear gloves. Like that was a part of the, you know, it was myself, Bo Brinkley, long snapper, and anybody else that wanted to participate. Like that was, you can't wear gloves. So, you know, sometimes catching those quarterback balls with those laces, oh man, it didn't feel great. But, Zach Mettenberger, he could absolutely, he could let you know that he could throw it hard. So I think those two guys, were some years where some practices where I was like, hey, can we put punt period first? Because I really, I'd love to warm up a little bit longer to get ready for punt period then go over there and catch these missiles from these guys.
Did you ever hurt your back trying to bend over and catch Vince Young's passes?
No, I wasn't. Back with Fisher, he had the whole system or the whole setup with practice where special teams were knocked out before, percent of the guys even come out for practice. So I wasn't catching, quarterback balls from them, from Vince or anybody. But when they changed the practice schedule around when Munchak did it, it was actually a really good way to warm up, loosen up, go run some routes, all that kind of stuff, work on your hands, just for holding and all that kind of stuff. And so, I never caught any from Vince.
I thought the guy that had the prettiest football that you would catch from was a guy, and I forget his name now. He has YouTube videos. He got cut just a few years ago, and I forget his name. I thought he threw a pretty and a perfect pass. He just never, when he got in games, it just never got the job done. And I can't remember the guy's name now. Alex something? No, maybe not. That ring a bell? No. He had YouTube videos?
A lot of quarterbacks.
Right. That came through here.
As we discussed earlier, Brett, a lot of running backs, too. A lot of relevant running backs that came through here.
Oh, I missed that conversation. But, yeah, there's a bunch of them. That's for sure. Really, the running backs, I tell you what, your backup, as long as your backup can play special teams, that's clutch. So I remember there were some running backs. We had that conversation about Jackie Battle. Those running, I probably remember more of the running backs that had an impact on special teams than anything else. So,
yeah, Alex Tanny getting a vote for
that's it.
Is that who you're thinking?
Alex Tanny, that's it.
Yeah, he's coaching. So he was coaching up in Philly when I was up there, and then I think he followed Dyke over to Indy. So I think he's in Indy, if I had to guess.
Let's see what the internet says. He is. Yeah, he is with the Colts. He's a passing game coordinator for the Colts. So there you go.
There we go.
Very good.
Yeah.
Brett, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, catching for quarterbacks is fun. The one that always got me was, Tannehill. When he would throw, he would, some of those guys would throw it so hard that you could, turn around on a route, on a comeback or something like that, and you could see him throwing it. Tannehill and a couple other guys, you would turn and that ball is literally 5 feet from your face. that thing comes so fast. But that was honestly probably one of my favorite things I did non-punting with the Titans was catching for quarterbacks.
What about, real quick before we go, what about Charlie Whitehurst? Where you're like, this guy is so handsome and throws a great football.
Hey, he's the one that wanted number six.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, we had that whole fake arm wrestling thing. But I told him I was not giving him number six because that's my number. So
yeah,
good for you, buddy.
That was good. Brett, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
Yep, absolutely. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.